Well, I'm old enough, and of course you're old enough too, in this meeting, to remember imperial units. Do you remember? So I'm trying to get a quart into a pint pot. Now, I know most people today don't understand what a quart is, but I'm trying to get a quart. I'm trying to get a quart into a pint pot. In 10 minutes, I'm going to deal with something which is very, very important. Now, let's give you a test. We don't know whether Martin Luther actually said this. It is said that he said it, but we don't know actually that he said it. He said there was a certain doctrine, which is the standing doctrine, the standing article of a church. He said, if you want to know whether a church is standing or falling, ask them what they think about this doctrine. What doctrine was that?
Justification
by faith. That's what he said. He said justification is the number one doctrine. Now, I don't know whether you agree with him. I do. You see? And justification by faith is under attack all the time.
Yes.
It has been from day one, and it'll go on to day whatever that is at the end. I want to say a few words on Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And this is the text, Paul speaking. He says, therefore, you will know it, you can say it with me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm afraid you're reacting the same as I react, you see. We're so used to that text that the wonder of it is lost on us. If we really understood and felt and enjoyed what that text is saying, we'd be, as they say, over the moon. You know, they go crazy at football matches because they see a chap score a goal. You know, these cooks go marvellous if they win a prize at making bread or something. Well, look at this text now. We, who are we? We, poor, wretched, miserable sinners, have peace with God because we are justified through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's absolutely staggering. That's wonderful. Let me just say a few words about it. Justification by faith. As I say, it's under attack. But if you want to know about justification by faith, read the first 8 chapters of Romans and read it out loud. Okay? Slowly. Out loud. And you will get it. And you will see what the apostle says there. He says this, that we are ruined sinners, all of us, under the wrath of God. And we have no hope of redeeming ourselves or getting out of it. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, God in his sovereignty has intervened by sending his son. Not simply to live, although he did live under the law, but to die on the cross. And by his blood to wash away all the sins of all his people, those he has chosen before the foundation of the world. And in time, these poor wretched sinners hear the gospel, they hear of Christ, and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that very moment, the moment they trust him, they receive all his righteousness, all his perfection, and all their sins are washed away. And they stand before God as perfect as Jesus. In my place he stood, and I stand in his place. What do you mean? He bore my sins, I bear his righteousness. And now the picture is of the court scene. And here's the judge sitting on the bench, God. And here's the poor wretched man or woman in the dock. Yes, you. That's me. And all the decisions have been made and all the witnesses have come in and the verdict is going to be pronounced. And there's no doubt about it, this poor wretched sinner in the dock is guilty. Now the Bible says, God says in Proverbs, that when a man or a woman is guilty, you must not acquit him. Nor must you the other way around. If a man or a woman is innocent, neither must you condemn them. But let's take the first. You must not acquit the guilt. You must not acquit the guilty. So here am I standing in the dock as a poor, wretched sinner. And God is going to pronounce the verdict. And what do I expect? It's bound to be guilty. But to my utter amazement, amazing grace, I hear this. Not only innocent, but righteous. Not only let him go free, but clothe him with righteousness. He is righteous in my sight. I count him, I account him, I reckon him to be righteous. Eh? How can God do that? The only way he can do it is he looks at me and he doesn't see me, he sees my Savior. He sees me in Jesus. And he says, that man is in Christ, and Christ is perfect to me, my son. This man is, this woman is, this man or woman who trusts the Savior. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is another version of that text. And although the commentators get all worked up about it, I actually think the alternative is probably the correct rendering of the manuscript. You could read like this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Could be, therefore, being justified by faith, let us have peace. Let us. Oh, say the writers, that can't be because we have it. What the apostle is doing here is this, and this is what I'm speaking on this morning. I've nearly finished, but this is what I want to say. My view is, my friend, that most evangelical believers quite clear about justification by faith. Yes, it's in the church document, it's in the articles, we accept it. Yes, yes, very nice. No, my friend, it's not very nice. It's a wonderful thing. And we should feel it more. Yeah. I'm sorry we're too dry about it. Yeah. We should be excited about it. Yeah. And I think that's what the apostle is saying. Let us say it to ourselves. Let us remind ourselves of it. Let some preachers preach it in this way. Yeah. What do you mean? We have it. Let us enjoy it. Yeah. What do you mean? Well, I don't know what's coming tomorrow for you, or this afternoon for you, or me. I don't know. Difficulties? Trials. There's plenty of attacks out there. The church attacks us, doesn't it? Sometimes the believers attack us. The devil attacks us. The world attacks us. There's many things going on in our lives. But what's the answer to it all? To remind ourselves that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you talk to one another about it? And remind each other? I hope you do. Yes. When somebody's a bit down, say, yes, but we still got peace with God, haven't we? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the devil, usually in the middle of the night, tells you about your sins, you remind him, my sins not in part, but the whole, are on Jesus, and I've got his righteousness, and therefore, I do have peace with God. Yes, I know I'm a sinner, but Christ presents me faultless. Now, I'm recording this now. I don't know whether some poor unbeliever, being put on the internet, I don't know whether some poor unbeliever in China or Russia or Peru or maybe even in Bedford will hear it. What can I say to them? Outside of Jesus Christ, my friend, there is no peace with God. You can be a faithful Muslim. You can be a faithful Buddhist, whatever that is, or a Hindu. You can have this view or that view. You can be a Roman Catholic, you can, Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot. But my friend, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no peace with God. But once you trust him, the moment you trust him, then you can say, therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God. Last thing. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, wrote, preached a sermon on this, and he gave it a title, and he said, peace, fact or feeling. Fact or feeling. He wanted the congregation, the believers, to feel it. Now, my title is Justification, Known, a Fact, and Felt. Something must be known and felt. I want us, my friends, to enjoy it. I want to enjoy it, and that's why I've spoken on it for you. Therefore, let's say it together. Therefore, being justified by faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.